Hi, Patrick here, and I have just one thing to say to you. Red lorry, yellow lorry. Now just try saying that 5 times super fast. Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red. I can't do it. I've been trying all my life, and I still can't do it. I also try with Americans. I try to get them to say that, too. It's funny enough, actually, just getting Americans to say the word lorry, let alone any of the other stuff. Anyway, today is all about tongue twisters. Annoying to some, fun to others. Occasionally, they're quite beautiful, like this one.
Dong dok dok, sai dok dok, dok dao bak gok, mai ling gok, ling gok hok, dui mun chong gok lok.
That's American poet Marilyn Chin reciting a tongue twister in the Chinese dialect of Taishanese. Chin's grandmother taught her that one. It means you run to the east, you run to the west, you go to a district in Hong Kong to buy a certain type of nut. Okay, it's the sound, not the meaning, that matters here. Long-time pod listeners may remember my conversation with Marilyn Chin, full of gems like that. I suppose it takes a poet to make a tongue twister sound poetic. Well, tongue twisters are studied by psycholinguists, including Stephanie Shattuck-Hufnagel of MIT. She's just published a list of some of the most difficult ones to say in the English language. The Big Show's Marco Werman called her at the 166th meeting of the Acoustical Society of America, where she's presenting her research, which she then explained to Marco.
We wanted to compare the types of errors that occur in different types of tongue twisters. But we did find that certain tongue twisters make people almost freeze up. One of the ones that we did not use in this study, but that I find particularly elicits lots of errors is leap, note, nap, loot. And if you say it fast enough and long enough, leap, note, nap, loop, leap, loop, loop, it definitely falls apart.
And why?
Well, one of the things that makes a string of words hard to say is when the different pieces of the word are changing in different ways, in different patterns. So if you think of leap, note, nap, loot, you have the L and the N changing in one pattern, but the eep, op, oot changing in a different pattern. And when you have those contrasting patterns for the different parts of the word string, it's pretty hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorites, and it's a really short tongue twister, is toy boat. If you try saying that 5 times real fast, I mean, I can't even get to through twice.
Unique New York is another one. And the one that you like, toy boat and unique New York, also have this characteristic that one part of the word is alternating in one pattern and the other part of the word in a different pattern. Uni-nu-yo.
Are there certain languages that lend themselves better to tongue twisters than others?
I don't believe anybody has ever looked at that. But since I deeply believe that human languages all draw on the same basic cognitive capacities, I would doubt that. It's possible, though, because the sounds of different languages, they have different inventories of sounds. It's possible that different languages traditionally have different tongue twisters simply because they have different sounds in their language.
So you kind of know why tongue twisters are difficult, but what do they reveal about the brain and about language?
Yes, well that was the actual purpose of the study that we did and that we reported at the Acoustical Society here this morning. And that is, certain tongue twisters seem to elicit one kind of error, and other tongue twisters, a different kind of error. And if you can figure out why speech of one kind elicits one error, and speech of another kind elicits another, then you start to get some insight into the typical speech production process, the process by which we have an idea, do a bunch of stuff in our brains, and then start moving our mouth to make the sound. It's not a simple process.
Right. There's this tongue twister that used to be, I think, in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most difficult tongue twister in the English language, the sheep's sick. So a lot of possessives and contractions in there. You just need to read it a lot.
That's not what's doing the damage, I think, though, The possessives and contractions. It's the alternation of the different sounds. So s, sh is very conducive to making errors if you have both s's and sh's in your tongue twister.
So based on what you found, have you come up with any kind of cheats or ways to make reading tongue twisters easier?
Slow down. And the other thing that's kind of interesting from that point of view is you can actually learn to do them quite quickly by practicing a lot. And why should that be? The reason that's so puzzling is when we ask people to produce tongue twisters so that they will make an error, we ask them to say them over and over. And the first couple of times they produce it, it's usually not errorful, although, as you pointed out, toy boat gets you right away. But usually that's not the case. But then if you practice and practice and practice, you can get to the point where you can say almost anything fluently. So we're not quite sure what's the difference between saying something a lot of times in a row. Why does that provoke more errors? Whereas practicing a lot provokes fewer errors.
Dr. Shadikov-Nagel, I have to ask you, you know, with any legitimate scientific research about topics like tongue twisters, I just want to know, what's the point?
Well, of course, any scientist will tell you, we want to know how the system works. And looking at how it breaks down is one way of starting to figure out how it works when it doesn't break down. But there's much more in the way of implications of this work, as you might imagine. One thing that we are very interested in is, as we get better and better models of the typical speech planning process, then we will be able to do better interventions with people who have aphasia, brain damage that causes them to have trouble talking, or children with developmental speech disorders. And then one of my favorite applications is, I'm quite convinced that as we get better and better models of the typical speech production process, we will be able to teach people second languages more effectively. And as the world gets smaller and smaller, that's going to be important.
Leave us with one good tongue twister that we can wrestle with for the rest of the night.
Let's go with toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
Okay. Well, I stumped you. Psycholinguist Stephanie Shadikov-Nagel, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And of course, we had to put the big show's newsroom to the test with one of Dr. Shadikov-Nagel's very own tongue twisters. You're supposed to say this kind of fast, but I'm going to say it slowly here just for clarity's sake. Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold. And now the guinea pigs.
I'm going to ace this thing. Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold.
Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold.
Pad, kid, poured, curd.
Poured, curd, pulled.
Curd, pulled, cold.
Pad, kid, poured,
curd, pulled, cold. Pad, kid, poured, cold.
Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold. Am I done?
Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold. Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold.
Pad, kid, blah, 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 blah.
Pad, kid, poured, curd, pulled, cold. Drop the mic.
Big thanks today to Nina Porzuki, who produced this segment, and there's more of it online, video of many of us making total fools of ourselves with tongue twisters. I'll also post a link to my conversation with poet Marilyn Chin. That comes highly recommended. She's endlessly playful with language. All of that's at pri.org/language. The pod is also on Facebook at the World in Words page, and I'm on Twitter, where I say red lorry, yellow lorry, in an endless loop under the name Patricox, Patricox. See you next time.